Staples like turkey, mashed potatoes, and cranberry sauce tell us one Thanksgiving story. But in recent years, there's also been a resurgence of dishes championed by Native American and Indigenous chefs. Many of these chefs are working to center ingredients and recipes found in North America prior to colonization.
We're talking about food from 573 different tribes, and those are just 573 federally recognized tribes. There are more that are state recognized, or even more that disappeared.
That's Andy Murphy, the host of the podcast Toasted Sister and a radio producer for Native America Calling.
So we're talking about those ingredients that are specific to those tribes. And each of those tribes has, you know, a culture kind of built around those foods specifically. I mean, these foods are part of different stories and different origin stories, but it's so very specific and so very personal to each tribe.
She told me that while dishes like fry bread often come to mind when non-Indigenous people think of Native food, there's actually an incredible amount of diversity within Native cuisine.
This movement is about moving away from that and changing our food identity to something that is traditional, that is that personal, local food that is part of our ancestry, part of our DNA.
If you're on social media, particularly if you're following younger cooks and chefs and progressive activists, a lot of people are calling this the decolonize your diet or decolonize your meals or even for this holiday, decolonize your Thanksgiving. What does that mean?
That means to really look at those traditional foods in your tribe that have been a part of, you know, the culture since time immemorial. That's using ingredients that are not pork and beef and lard and these things that have been forced on us. And it's also, you know, it's not just like the ingredients that you're bringing into your holiday dinners and into your diet. It's having that kind of understanding, cultural understanding, because it's, you know, food for, you know, Native people is more than just something that we put in our mouths. I've heard people on my podcast describe it as like an act of resistance, an act of spirituality, and really taking part in your culture and your religion. So it's also recognizing that part of Native food.
We're right on the cusp of Thanksgiving, and there's obviously a lot of mythology around how Thanksgiving came to be and what food is at the center of the Thanksgiving table. We know that traditionally, at least in the American psyche, it's a turkey with some potatoes and some green beans. How do we decolonize that?
So turkeys are native to North America, so I guess we could still have that turkey. We could really look at the traditional squashes. The native farmers and seed keepers are working really hard to revitalize and grow in our own communities again. Those traditional varieties of corn, we could also just have, I guess, conversations with our elders about the foods that they were eating long time ago. I know it can be pretty hard to, you know, this close to Thanksgiving to sort of rethink a whole menu, but it takes time. You know, even in Native America, it's not happening that fast to change our diets and start adding more traditional decolonized ingredients to our dinner tables.
When you were growing up, what did the Thanksgiving table look like, or what did Thanksgiving mean to you?
Thanksgiving, you know, long time ago when I was a kid, was really fun. I mean, we brought home our arts and crafts from school that had pilgrims and turkeys and Indians on them. We really had no understanding of the real history and atrocities of Thanksgiving. So, you know, in my earlier days, it was really fun. We got to spend time with family and have really good food. And we just had the regular, you know, Thanksgiving foods, turkey, yams with the marshmallows on top of them. Everything had like a stick of butter in it. And then when we went to college, I'm talking about me and my sister, she's only a year younger than me. But when we went to college, we enrolled ourselves in American Indian Studies courses where we learned Native history that we had never been taught before in our public schools. So we learned Native history. We learned the real history of Thanksgiving. And for a couple of years during our college years, we were pretty angry at the Thanksgiving table. But it's hard to just like sit there and be angry. Like for me, I slowly, like after a couple of years, let that anger go. And I think a lot of Native people, when they go through Indian studies courses, they have like a couple of years of anger. And sometimes they carry that with them, but I kind of dropped it and learned to just keep that in the past, but, you know, sometimes use it for inspiration for some of the work that I do.
So, Andy, if somebody is listening to this and says, well, I kind of want to see what Native food is, where do they begin? I mean, where do they go? Where should they look? What is something that is accessible that they might be able to start with?
Well, they can look in their own area. There are tribes all over the place. There are tribes in your area right now. You are on Native land, so you should look in your own area to see if there are tribes there that are working towards food sovereignty, because they might have farms that sell these things, that sell traditional food. They might have online businesses where you can pay for shipping and have it shipped to your house. Like I do, I get like maple syrup and wild rice and, you know, cornmeal shipped to me from all these different Native producers. So they're out there. You just have to look for it. And, you know, I've been asked this question many times before because of my podcast. People are like, where can I get these things? I'm so excited. I'm starting to put together like a database in my Toasted Sister website, which is toastedsisterpodcast.com. And I'm trying to put all those Native food producers on there so people can open up that page and look and see in different regions what tribes, what entrepreneurs are producing what and selling it for, you know, people like me who want to have these things in their pantry. So look in your area. People are having, you know, food celebrations and harvest celebrations. Sometimes, most times, they're open to the public.
Andy Murphy is the host of the podcast Toasted Sister and a radio producer for Native America Calling. Andy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.